More than 1 million refugees entered the European Union in 2015. Around 30,000 of them entered through Bulgaria. 3 years ago, this small Eastern European country saw an average of 1,000 illegal migrants cross its border with Turkey annually. But in the summer of 2013, that number multiplied exponentially as the flood of refugees from Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and other struggling nations began to hit Europe. Many illegally carry on to the Balkans, while many others seek asylum in Bulgaria. In the first 8 months of 2015, Bulgaria processed 10,600 asylum requests. At the onset of the refugee crisis, impoverished Bulgaria was caught off guard, scrambling to hastily create basic facilities out of old, abandoned Soviet buildings or schools. When I first visited in December of 2013, overcrowding, appalling sanitary conditions in camps, and the alleged cruelty of guards gave Bulgaria a bad name. Voina Rampa in the capital, Sofia, was one such facility. This former school of architecture struggled to provide adequate conditions for the 840 people who stayed here at the time, 98% of which were Syrian. Supervisor Peter Kirillov toured me around the facilities. Almost every person we passed tugged on Peter's arm to complain about the electricity.
No power.
This refugee pointed to the cracked window and a broken radiator attached to the wall. You could see the helplessness in Peter's face.
We have various problems, such as sanitary issues. The bathrooms are very bad. We only have electricity for lighting. The temperatures outside are very low, and we're not able to heat the rooms. We don't have any doctor in the center either.
In 2013, each registered person above the age of 18 received about 41 euros a month from the Bulgarian government to buy everything from food to medicine. Yet without reliable electricity, it was difficult to even boil a cup of tea. The school's old gymnasium had been converted into a living space. Families had erected loose sheets to give themselves some sort of personal space. Yet at Voina Rampa, conditions have improved over the past couple of years. Electricity is more stable, parts of the dilapidated facility have been repaired, and there is a sense of permanency here, as many of the same refugees I met back in 2013 still reside here today. Children now have access to education, receive art classes, and even hold sporting days. Latifa is a Syrian mother of two.
Before, they are the situation very bad. The toilet is very dirty and no radiator and no hot water. But now it's better now. Not very, very better, but now they have changed. Yes.
Ovcha Kupel is another government refugee center on the outskirts of Sofia. Here, children have been provided basic education, including Bulgarian, an essential for social integration. But tensions have developed between the refugees and the area's residents, both accusing the other of aggressive and inappropriate behavior. Omar Fassi was imprisoned for 4.5 months after crossing into Bulgaria from Turkey a year ago. He was then placed in Ovcha Kupel.
I'm not happy. There are a lot of problems here. We're Arabs. We don't go to the center of town because we're scared. I'm here waiting for my residency papers. Then I want to go to Europe. They'll treat us better in Europe, for sure.
Ovcha Kupel has always offered primary healthcare services, and Syrian Dr. Samir, who has lived in Bulgaria for 15 years, continues to donate his time once a week to treat the refugees here. He says his adoptive country is doing as best they can, considering.
Money? I work for free, just to help my people. I can see that Bulgaria is doing its best. This country wasn't expecting such a big number of migrants, and other countries should help Bulgaria too.
The European Union has committed more than 3 billion euros over the next 7 years to help member nations with the refugee crisis, but Bulgaria argues it's not getting the attention other entry point countries get, such as Greece and Italy. Since joining the EU in 2007, Bulgaria has already spent 300 million euros, mostly of EU money, reinforcing its borders. Along with beefing up the number of border police, Bulgaria has erected a 30-kilometer, 1.5-meter-thick razor wire fence along its porous border with Turkey and is working on another 100 kilometers. The country's Minister of Defense, Angel Nedunov, says the fence is necessary to control the flow of people.
The idea behind this fence is to restrict unlawful and unauthorized entry into the country, and it will also redirect the influx of potential migrants to the proper checkpoints where they should enter the country.
But here in the small border village of Golyan Dervant, villagers see little need for the fence.
People find themselves in bad situations and are trying to save themselves. They flee because of the trouble going on, and for this reason I pity them. I give them water, a slice of bread, some butter, water for the children.
The fence is absolute nonsense. To me, they're good people. They come here with kindness. They don't cause any problems at all, as far as I'm concerned.
The UNHCR is also opposed to the fence, says their Bulgarian representative, Roland François Veil.
There's a procedure that exists. People apply, and it's up to the authorities to decide whether that person that applies qualifies for refugee status or not. But people have to have access, and therefore we're not in favor of anything that can prevent people from crossing the border at any part of the border.
This fence reflects the growing divide within Bulgarian society over the issue of refugees, even today as the EU places more pressure on entry point countries such as Bulgaria. This tiny, already impoverished country has improved conditions for the refugees, yet is clearly still feeling the immense pressure the crisis brings, and is likely to for some time still, as war, destruction and poverty continues around the world, provoking this unrelenting flow of refugees and migrants to Europe. Natalie Carney for DW in Sofia, Bulgaria.